was in France. Non-zombie scram, so we brought it back again, cause I'm a Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-William. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-William. You got to follow where he's going, gotta take him to the promised land. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-William.
Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world, WWRB 3.185. Part 3 tonight, Sabbath Facts. You don't want to miss it. I want to tell you how that you are to keep the Sabbath, how to mark it, how to begin it, and how to end it. It's all astrologically, scientifically proven that Yahweh set this way up from the foundation of the world. You're going to find out in the book of Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22 and 23, that you're going to have to keep his plan, not yours. You're not going to go with the Gregorian, that's for sure. That ain't going to be used in the new millennial. And neither is the Saturday Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to tell you that. Neither is Sunday of the Roman and Catholic Church. I'll be right back after we get the lamb, the sheep, in here tonight. Listen to the program. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're right on time here tonight, praise Yahweh, in an astronomical terminology. I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about the phase called the new moon. It's the lunar phase that occurs when the moon, in its monthly orbital motion around Earth, lies between Earth and the Sun, and it's therefore noted in a conjunction. Now, you can see it with your own eyes, even during the day. It's amazing. The Sun is seen from the Earth at this time, and the dark, unilluminated portion of the Moon faces almost directly toward Earth, so that the moon is not visible to the naked eye. The original meaning of the phase new moon was the first visible crescent. Now that's the original meaning after the conjunction with the sun. After. Now not before. Some people jump the gun and use this first visible phase that they see as the new moon, and it's not true. You could be keeping it, as I said last night, in the old phase. How did the ancients know all this? How did the Mayans, which is just generally believed that they left out somewhere mysteriously, by the way, their ancient calendars were amazing, very accurate, more accurate. Listen to this now. The Mayan calendars were so accurate and are still so accurate, they're the most accurate calendars that has ever been known to man. Now, how did they know 1,000 years ago how to mark conjunctions, how to mark celestial events, how to know the speed and orbit of planets? It's incredible. And yet they knew. The Bible says, or Josephus says, that this information was handed down to, directly from, the watchers to the sons of Seth. That's what he said. And that they were particularly given to Enoch. And if you go back in the book of Enoch, you will see that he wrote a lot about celestial events. Now, again, the crescent of the moon is to be realized according to the information that I'm giving you here now after the conjunction. This is a celestial event, astronomically proven in the Bible. And so then, this is the accurate timepiece. As the conjunction, every time you have a new moon, there will be an associated conjunction between the sun and the moon. The moment this unique happening happens, it don't depend on location, and under certain circumstances, it is a coincidence with a solar eclipse. The new moon, in its original meaning of first crescent, marks the beginning of the month in a lunar calendar, such as Muslim, the lunar solar, the Hebrew calendar, where's the Jewish calendar at in here? It ain't in here. They don't observe that. The Jews don't observe this. They go on the factors of the Gregorian. The Hebrew calendar observed it. The Buddhist observed it. And in the Chinese calendar, the beginning of the month is marked by the dark moon. Just as soon as they see the dark moon go dark, they say that's a dark moon, which would indicate that it's the beginning, and that's wrong. You see, that's how they err. On April the 14th of this year, 2010, the new moon was photographed producing what is claimed to be the first ever image at the exact moment of the start of the new moon phase with the conjunction. They did that this year. They proved scientifically on April the 14th, 2010, that the new moon was photographed producing what is claimed to be the first ever image at the exact moment of the start of a new moon phase identified with the conjunction. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's incredible. The Islamic calendar, and they get this from the Hebrew calendar, by the way. The Jews don't get this from the Hebrew calendar. They don't even use the Hebrew calendar. Well, of course, the Catholic don't use it. And, of course, the Christians don't use it. Who uses it? Those who have studied the Bible, advanced studiers, I believe, and those that have put their time and energies into the direction that the new moon is quite significant in the Hindu calendar, in the Islamic calendar, and in the Hebrew calendar, and the lunar solar calendar, which is what we use today, which is what I use today. We know that these civilizations pass, like the Chinese, the Buddhist, and the Muslim, and the lunar solar calendars that has been dug up, the Mayan calendar, it was on a lunar phase. In other words, it was solar, lunar. And today, they have thrown the moon out of the equation. You might as well just hook a chain to it and drag it over in some dark hole out in space and bury it for all they care. They don't really care. Now notice this, ladies and gentlemen. We are in what is described to determine a new moon with an approximate formula, and the ancients knew this. It's proof that the Egyptians could mark the conjunctions simply by the observers. We knew that the ancient Hebrews knew that the time interval between new moons or a lunation is variable And the mean time between new moons of the synodic month is 29.53 days. This is a very complicated mathematical figure, but the ancients were very adept at mathematics. They were actually more accurate than we are. The pyramids was built and aligned with accuracy that rivals the greatest instrumentation that we have today. The U.S. Naval Observatory today makes it very easy for you to go up and get the conjunctions for ages to come. Matter of fact, you can go back in the time of the past. This is the amazing part. What I really appreciate about this is that you can, the astronomers can go back into the conjunctional times of the past. Even at the time of like 4 BC, they knew that they were like some spectacular events in 4 BC, 7 BC. They knew the conjunctions and the applications, even by setting up these models and going back in time. And that's how the Mayans did it. They didn't have to have a computer. Today they do it on computer models. Makes it easy when somebody does the homework. You see, a computer model has to be, the model has to be built by someone that's putting a lot of time into the study and effort to display the computer program that has been worked on for a long time. We have people continuously going back and checking the past. Isn't that incredible? That the time of our beginning and the time of our end is recorded in the heavens. And again, the Bible says there is nothing, I'm talking about nothing, new under the heavens. Let me repeat that again. You know, I mean, I'm fascinated with that. There is nothing that is to be that has not already been. That means that all of the computer programs, that's why that you can go back and pinpoint with accuracy, and the ancients had the ability to do this, even as much or probably or perhaps, because they knew of 12 planets, and today we don't have but 9. Now, if you throw Pluto, the little insignificant planet, and there, some of the most modern scientists now, or astronomers, they're saying that it really don't belong. It's not big enough, this little teeny thing, to be considered a planet. And if that's true, we've got a lot of learning to do with what we would describe as the discovery of other planets. The very thin crescent of the new moon cannot be observed visually with the naked eye, or binoculars, or telescope, unless you have the proper atmospheric conditions. That's why that they had watchers posted in vantage points where that they were keeping watch over the heavens. And so then we must keep watch over the heavens today if you are what is considered in astronomical terminology as the new moon or the lunar phase when it occurs in its monthly orbital motion around the earth. And then we have the conjunction. That's what I'm talking about tonight. I want to drive on the conjunctional basis of the ideal that if you keep anything before the conjunction, you're keeping the old Sabbath. We say, I don't really go with that. No way. I keep Saturday and Sunday. Now, I really got upset last night to the degree of trying to emphasize. I only did this to the show calls, that there's a lot of falsehood. I want you to know I'm not afraid of any Seventh-day Adventist calling me up and rebuking me, because there's nothing in the Bible to indicate that Saturday's the Sabbath. Nothing. Except some Jewish folklore or some Gregorian preset type of the modified calendars that has been used in the past has already been proven to be Gregorian or wrong. And the most accurate calendar is the one that's written in the heavens. Now, if you've got the ability to do the lunar, the solar, or the solar-lunar, as opposed to those who just take the solar and sweep the rest under the rug, you can't divide time unless you use the lunar phase. And by keeping it, it's amazing how the wisdom of our Father set this time system into the heavens, and the moon is the central key to the lock, or the unlocking, whichever the case. If you don't use it, you've locked, and if you will use it, you can unlock the mysteries of the heavens as it goes for in the book of Genesis, four times, I want to repeat that, this is four times. Well, now, some people contend that the language in the Bible, back in the book of Genesis, that the moon is not mentioned. It says two great lights. Now, my question to you from the earth and the vantage point is, which lights do you think he's talking about? Okay, well, it's a foregone conclusion. He's talking about the sun, okay? Now, this is for the solar people only, says, well, the moon is not a light. It's a dead body. It don't give any light. However, there is more intrigue to me of the fact that it don't give light, but that it's angled precisely at such an angle at 5 degrees and tilted just exactly correctly when the sun is on the opposite side, shining in its glory. It lights the moon up in phases, and these phases are detectable from Earth. David, I done showed to you. He knew. He said, tomorrow is a new moon. Predetermined. Now, today we don't do that. The Seventh-day Adventists, they could care less about tomorrow's a new moon. Well, what about the Sabbath keepers? That includes most Christianity, with excepting a few that are Saturday keepers. I was a Saturday keeper at one time. I'm not talking out of the lips out of my mouth with salt water and sweet. I've been through this. I went through this phase of Saturday and gradually began to ask questions. You should ask questions and be honest with yourself. We're trying to get you to know. It's very important for you to know the new moon is the beginning of the month. And it only starts after the conjunction. Never before now. Never before. Don't worry about it, ladies and gentlemen. The conjunction is a term used in positional astronomy and astrology, and it means that it's seen from someplace, usually the earth, that two celestial bodies are in the same positions in the sky. Now, what's so hard about that? More generally, in particular, in the case of the two planets, it means that they must have the same right ascension, and hence the same hour angle. When conjunctions occur, the involved planets are close to one another when they are viewed from the celestial sphere. The vast majority of the cases, one of the planets will appear to pass north or south of the other. More rarely, one planet may occur or cross directly in front of another as seen from the earth. Now, there you are. This is a celestial happening by nature. Yahweh's nature calendar involves the lunar phases. And it's incredible that you can go to the Bible and prove, you can actually prove that that's what they used in the Bible to mark, and I mentioned last night briefly, and I'm going to get into it more as we go along, the eighth day. Now, the first Sabbath would fall upon what we would determine as the eighth day of a Hebrew calendar. Now, let me set the stage for you. Most people are confused because they can't get it out of their mind how to superimpose the Hebrew calendar upon the Gregorian calendar, which is the calendar that most people in the world use, have been trained to use, because wise men have set a false time system before them, and they bow down to that. And as the scripture says in the book of Isaiah, that Satan would change the Sabbath to his false times. Daniel said he would think to change times and laws, Daniel 7:25, and he said, I will set over the congregation using false times for Sabbath. Now, my question to you, what is the general accepted term for Sabbath? Would it involve the Gregorian calendar? The answer is a definite yes. It would involve the Gregorian calendar, what we call the Catholic calendar, that was developed by Pope Gregory and a few astronomers and mathematicians that worked feverishly on a calendar of perfection. Now, why did they abandon, my question to you, why did they ignore and abandon the conjunctional, the superior conjunction as used in the planets? Did you know that the moon is in conjunction with the sun at new moon, or rather the dark moon? And it's the most powerful, influential effect upon the earth. It has tide changes. There's nothing that would compare to the strength of a conjunction of the sun and the moon. When that happens, it's a phenomenon that sets in that gives these distinguished conjunctions an ecliptic longitude and a conjunction at right ascension, meaning that at the proper time you begin a new phase for a new month called the new moon. Then you go back to work. Now, it's amazing that at this grand conjunction of the sun and the moon that has the most powerful influence of upon the earth, then you would go back to what is called in the scriptures of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 46 and verse 1. Now let's go through it real slow that you may determine the actual setting of the scriptures as determined not by the Gregorian, but by a calendar system that only fits the solar-lunar application of the conjunction. That is, that Ezekiel declared in the 46th chapter and the first verse that the gates into the temple, now these are basically what this was, is that there were 12 gates in the rotation, just like on your watch. This is where this came, your watch came from, the rotation gates. There's 12. And 12 in a day and 12 in a night. So you wouldn't need 24, which there's 24 hours in a day, but there's only 12 on the function that you need to know, and that's a day and night issue. At a certain point of the evening, when we have the passing of day to night, combined within the 24-hour function. Now, notice what Ezekiel said. He said, the gates into the city, or the temple, which in a and Brother Randy just has worked on his altar, and today was the Pentecost, our Pentecost. And the reason that we keep Pentecost later than anyone else is that we believe that Pentecost is a function of the fourth month, as opposed to those who just count from 50 days of the original mark of the equinox or the first moon after, and they begin to count their 50 days. On the 60th day, they start to count. They count 50 days and quit. That's 50 days too early, because you need to add another 49 days or 7 Sabbaths, and that's the issue here. Is the terminology of the wording, and only the wise can see this. It's like splitting hairs. The wise can see that it was in the time of the grape harvest, which is right now. If you don't believe it, go out in this time zone, which is equal to Jerusalem, and in this time zone, or in this parallel, we have the ingathering of the grapes. We're beginning to harvest the grapes. Well, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They had begun the grape harvest, which is a major event, and Yahweh always coincided His festivals in alignment with the spring harvest, the summer solstice, and the mid-summer, which would be actually sometime in July or August, and this year it's going to be August because of the 13th month delay. It would usually be around July the 4th. Now, isn't that strange? That that's a commemorative day that we set aside for some kind of a reason, and we don't even know why. We thought it was for shooting firecrackers. And yet this is the harvest year of the grapes, or the time of the grapes. And when the day of Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 2, had fully come, they were in one place in one accord, and the Holy Spirit fell upon the day of Pentecost. Isn't that strange? Well, it's just strange. Today is a new moon. Isn't that fabulous? A new moon. And they were in one accord and in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And then when this was noised abroad, the people came to hear or to gather to see what was going on up at the upper room. And they determined that these men were full of new wine. Now, if it would have been 50 days earlier, they wouldn't have been in the new wine gathering season. Today, it proves that this is Pentecost, a time zone for you to look up or to reevaluate your tradition of jumping 50 days behind the correct time by just doing one half of what it demanded you to do in the book where it says number 50 days and count 7 Sabbaths, or count 7 Sabbaths and number 50 days. Well, that's 99 days. And on the 100th day, which one is a reducing factor to completeness, that's what had happened on the day of Pentecost. Complete. The Holy Ghost came. You see, Yahweh is such a great mathematician that He has given us these signs in nature, both from the fruit side of the producing, which is the, you couldn't grow anything without the moon. Well, evidently it was doing pretty good for the time of the crossing, if you will, when that they got what is called a new moon, Pentecost, to come about, and there, lo and behold, was the time factor that Ezekiel promised in his gate. Now listen to this. That the gate would only be open. Now remember, it had an open and a close. When it was closed, it's dark. And when it was open, you saw light. Now, in the reverse of this, in the mirrored system that Yahweh has designed, you would see first crescent light in the gate on the new moon, now that's when it begins to count. You start your lunar phase and count 6 days. Now watch it. Now the first day is a day that you counted in the month, but as far as the Sabbath goes, you didn't count that because you've got to work 6 days before you begin a count. Well, Ezekiel determined it that on the day that the new moon, that was the day you come in and worshiped, and then after the new moon, you went to work. That's the first visible light after the conjunction. And you worked 6 days, and watch this now. You worked 6 days, and now what day would you have in the month? You would have 7 days past. By working 6 days and keeping a new moon in the beginning, you would have exactly 7 days. Now, at the going down of the sun on the seventh day, that's when you begin your Sabbath. That's why I said to begin it at the end of the 7 days, and it would be an eighth day Sabbath, not a seventh day Sabbath. If you did, you would be keeping it back in one of the work days commanded by Yahweh, and the lunar would tell on you, and the gate system of Ezekiel chapter 46 wouldn't work. Because you've got to keep the new moon. Now let's go into the new moon effect of the command to keep it. Was it a Sabbath? And indeed it was not. Was it a holy day? Yes, it was. What were you to do on a new moon? Blow the trumpet, right? That's the marking. That was the identification. That was a pause. You couldn't do any work for wages. But you could do work for the temple or charity. You could prepare the temple, raise the temple. That's what they've done many times on the new moon. It was a time that Yahweh said, okay, I'm going to, one day a week, I want you all to come over here and help me. Raise my tabernacle up. And it was on a new moon. We know that in the book of Numbers, chapter 29, verse 1, that it says, on the new moon, you blow the trumpet, and you mark this day, as they did all other months, to begin what is called the seventh month. Now, that was a holy month. It began, which, if you go back to what would be determined in our Gregorian month, the third month, that's the first month of the spring equinox. And that would be in April, whereas it's called the third month in the Gregorian, and it's the first month in the Hebrew. You see that? You see how they change times and laws to confuse you, to get you out of the rhythm and the synchronicity of the great orb of the solar and the great orb of the lunar, which is a reflector. These planets, like passing in the night, reflect and signal, just like two passing ships use the light shutter to send messages and code. Navies around the world employ this system, and it's the same system that Yahweh, in a natural setting in the heavens through conjunctional basis, that sets the agenda for the timekeeping process. Now, like I said, begin, count. The first day, new moon, no work. But just as soon as the conjunction happens on First Crescent, you would go to work. Now, I've done explain to you, if that crescent or the conjunction is in a 12-hour, let's say we divide the 12 hours to the 12 hours, and you'd have to start on the first 12 hours in the old month, you're keeping it before the conjunction. And that's where the error people do by not observing the conjunction. It's very easy to do, too, and it's very deceptive. And even the lunar people can deceive you. Some of these groups that keep their Sabbath, they have to call Jerusalem. Well, we've seen the first crescent. You know, I've seen that so much, it just about makes me sick. You don't have to look at Jerusalem. You should look up. Yahweh built a system above the head of His people. who are scattered all over the earth, not in Jerusalem. And these idiots, if you went back 300 years, how in the hell could you get the information from Jerusalem over here on the North Atlantic side in America? How could you get it if you depended on seeing First Crescent Line at Jerusalem? You see this? You see the errant ways of the misleading people even today? Well, we got the message from Jerusalem. We got it straight from the horse's mouth. That's the point of demarcation. That's where we have to go to Jerusalem to get the time. Ladies and gentlemen, that's ignorance. When you've got a celestial event astronomically proven above your head that you can just look up and see the conjunction. It's very simple that you would have a conjunction at the time of the point of exactness meeting in the conjunctional basis to begin your new month. Now, day one, that's when the gates open into the city. And we have, if you'd like to have Brother Randy's pictures of the altar and the 12 stones laid in the circle, and it really was a key to my understanding to notice the heavens and their clock-like work and fashion that depicts the book of Ezekiel chapter 46 verse 1. It's very simple. Yahweh is in simplicity. He chose the foolish things. Now I'm going to repeat that. And you know, I've had so many people to tell me, oh, that doctrine you preach about that old loner, but that's foolish. Saturday's the Sabbath. Don't you know nothing, Lord of God? In case they're seventh day and Sunday is the first day of the week. That's the Sabbath to the Christian because he changed it from the seventh day to the first day of the week. And I'm telling you that I agree with that. If you look at the lunar aspect, that you keep the new moon in a holy setting, it's not a Sabbath now, but you keep it in a setting, and then you see first crescent line after the conjunction, and you go to work, and you work for 6 days, you're going to stop on the end of the seventh day and begin the eighth day at the new day. Nobody would look at that, but notice in the book of Ezekiel, that's exactly the plan. If you go to Isaiah 66, he agrees with Ezekiel, his partner, in a crime here, because Yahweh hid this doctrine, and these prophets spent more time hiding it from the wise and prudent and revealing it to foolish people, people that's just foolish enough to believe something like that. Man, I mean, I've had a lot of people tell me, well, you're foolish. That's foolish. Well, it is. It's so foolish and so simple that a fool, though a wayfaring man, would not err therein. And you Saturday people that won't come and reason with the Scriptures, you just hold dogmatically to the Jewish teaching of the recognition of the Jews to Pope Gregory. You reckon they might be in the same bed sleeping together? Well, I would think so, don't you? It's incredible how that they have lied, how they've changed times, how they flee from the truth, how they cover the truth, how they shut up the door of knowledge. They won't go in themselves to these time gates, and they won't let you go in to the time gates of Revelation, of Ezekiel chapter 46, 1 and 2. Now, if you close the gate on the new moon or open the gate on the new moon, but then the next 6 days it's closed, wonder why? Because they want you to work 6 days before you can keep the Sabbath. Well, what day would it be on? Seventh day or eighth day? Duh. Can you count? We got any of you simple first grade arithmeticers? That's very easy to count. That shouldn't be a great mystery to you. And yet it's one of the most complicated. I have got that out and showed people and said, I still don't understand it. And you wonder what's wrong with people's eyes. Well, they have eyes to see and they can't see. They have ears to hear and they can't hear. About what? About the truth. The Sabbath. The facts are in the details. Who people will not. Well, they want something like they drive through Burger King. If they don't get it in 2 minutes, they're honking their horn and cursing over the loudspeaker because their food ain't out there having it their way. Well, we have become a spoiled society of complicated idiots. We've become wise, professing ourselves become wise, we're fools. And the things that Yahweh put in the Bible became foolish. And the more you get foolish for Yahweh, the more you fast, the more you pray, the more you realize that the rest of the world has gone absolutely stir crazy with the facts. They don't want none of these facts. They don't want to study the facts. The Bible said, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They don't want it. They won't have it. They close their ears. They shut up their mind. Well, I'll just wait for Saturday. That's more simple. I can understand that. I can look up here on the Gregorian glass, God, and there's what it calls the seventh day, and that's the day I'm keeping. That's the day the Jews keep it. I'm going to quote you a fabulous scripture. Thank you, Yahweh, for putting it in the Bible in the mouth of two witnesses. That witness was the same witness. He said it twice. That's the Savior that you trust in. Beware of the Jews. They're sitting in a false temple with a false covering, with a false time, and they're liars. Now, they'll lie to you for a dollar. They'll tell you a lie, and you idiotic Christians who don't know any better will follow them like a dumb sheep that you are, and the things that you could have that is now hidden from your eyes and you'll never see it. You'll go right off the cliff following the blind, because if the blind follow the blind, I'm talking about the blind sheep. I mean, you just really have to walk over Yahweh's truth to get to the deception that the devil's got. But it's so simple. People are so high-minded and so heady that they themselves can never accept the simplicity of Mother Nature teaching you a time chart. And the more I study this, the more thrilled that I am that the simplicity of the mathematics is so easy. When you get into the phase of the moon, you just watch the phases. Now, notice the eighth day. That's when on the lunar or the solar lunar calendar, we have a first Sabbath, the eighth day. Now, we work again. Now, remember that Ezekiel goes on and talks about that the gate is open again on the next Sabbath. Now, what Sabbath would that be if it's open on the eighth day? Give me the next count to the Sabbath. Would it not be the 15th? Well, how is it that the synchronicity of all of the festivals start on the 15th day, both the Passover and Tabernacles? How is that to be? How is it? Can you answer my question? You say, it's just a coincidence. It's just a coincidence. I mean, God didn't have no particular reason because, you know, it's Saturday. When you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It takes more faith. And in my case, I don't, you know, I think it's stupidity. And I believe me, somebody beat me with a stupid stick. when I was 20 years in the Saturday Sabbath keeping, somebody literally beat my head in with a stupid stick. And today, I see how stupid I was or how foolish I was, how I couldn't understand because I'd never been told. How can I accept some man point me? Well, I'm pointing you here tonight. I'm challenging you, all you Saturday keepers. I don't want to talk mean to you. I don't want to give you the wrong impression that I'm arrogant or boastful or prideful. I'm not. I'll get down and fast with you and pray with you until we get a clear understanding of Ezekiel 46 and 1 and 2. Now then, by the first Sabbath being the 8th, the next Sabbath would be the 15th. Is that correct? And you would have to say, yeah. You'd have to work 6 more days after the 8th day, and it brings you to the end of the 14th day. Now, guess what? What day was he crucified on? He was crucified on the 14th. He was taken down on the evening before the dawning of the 15th day. He was laid in the tomb when the Sabbath... Now, listen to me. You say, well, it was just a coincidence... Pastor Buddy, you're making a big deal out of that, and that's really not what it was. It was just a high Sabbath. And so then, the Saturday, although it didn't fall on that day, it wasn't a Saturday, but see, it's a high Sabbath, and so Yahweh give us a couple extra Sabbaths in the year. Uh-uh. No. That ain't going to cut it. The synchronicity that Yahweh is using for you to see the light is in simplicity. The conjunctional basis of the beginning to the end of that month, and then a renewal, and then it starts the whole cycle and renews all over again, and it's so patterned a shape. The longer you keep it, the longer you observe the planets, the longer that you... see the functioning above your head in a light, and that's what he said it would be for times and for season. Now, let's go back to that word season. That's for moeds. That's for festivals. Well, it just so happens that the second Sabbath falls on the 15th, which is the full Shekinah, or the full brightness of the phase of the moon in its full brightness. It is lit, the whole globe of the moon is shining bright, and that's why they call it a full moon. Now, long they have associated the demons with the full moon, and it has nothing to do with that. That's a fearful superstition and things of this nature. It's faith. It's his faith. When he died and was buried and went into the dark underworld, it was on the full moon. Meaning that Yahweh carried the light into the dark regions of the afterlife, which the Bible says that he descended into the lower parts of the earth with the flashlight. Basically, if I could use that phrase, or a spotlight, he carried the light went into the dark underworld. He needed a light. And when he went in, he found 144,000 that he decided, as a type, to bring out with him after his resurrection, according to the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew and the 57th verse. Isn't it wonderful? Coinciding. And then by the Sabbath, he was all at the end of the Sabbath. The Bible says they came to embalm him, and they found he's already risen. Isn't that a perfect type? And you say that He was in there 3 days and three nights? I don't think so. Mm-mm. If he went in on the evening of the 14th day and he was up before the 16th day, he had to be up to make what is called the beginning of the Pentecostal count to wave the grain offering. Now, what grain came out of there? 144,000, chosen before the foundation of the world to be a bride that he took out in his first resurrection. Well, it's perfect. Thank you, Yahweh. Thank you for seeing it. Thank you, Father, for opening up the mechanics of my mind. Nothing good I'd done. I was just a hunk of junk. I was just a Saturday keeper. When you showed me your marvelous truth and shone the light to the second Sabbath within the month, and then we're going to work 6 more days after the 15th day, which is a Sabbath, 8:15, we come to the 22nd day. Now, how many lights of illumination do we have on the 22nd? There's 22 light words in the Hebrew language. The greatest of this is the 10th letter, which is the Yod. This is the smallest letter, and that's why Yahweh was chosen to be the light of the world, and the Yod, the action figure. He came into the world. The God-man, the 10th letter, the one, the reduction of one. He came into the world as a God-man in the significance of his letter, which was the Yod. Yod, hey, fa, or wa, hey. Yod, hey, vai. Or Yahweh. Praise Yah. The total sum of his number with the first two is 15. Well, that's the second Sabbath. Do you get that? Yahweh's so big on mathematics. I mean, I love to study mathematics. It's so astounding what he can do. Now, if you divide 22, you got 11. And 11 happened to be the number of the birthright son of dividing it against itself, and that shows you that the flesh is always contrary to the spirit, and that Joseph was the 11th son chosen to separate himself through spiritual experiences. He said, I had a dream. I dreamed that the sun and the moon and the other planets, including 12, well, we only know right now of 9 planets, with to include the other planets in the system, 11 and 12, or 11, which would be the sun and the moon. So there's one more to go. Now this one is, we're going to be discovered, it will be the master planet that Satan will appear on, where he's been bound in the outer world, and he's coming back within the rotational orbit, and that planet will appear, and then the Satan will make his grand entrance as God himself onto the earth, will create a fake rapture. A lot of people will disappear. All the Christians say, oh, glory to God. I'm out of here on a rapture. Ladies and gentlemen, there just happens to be 2 raptures. One false rapture and one true rapture. Now, the true rapture is not a rapture of the righteous. It's a rapture of the wicked. When Yahweh comes behind this great power, or the revelation of this planet, which is the 12th planet. Now, we've got one more to come. That's the 13th. You know which one that is. And then you will see the new heaven and the new earth coming down. When Satan comes, he ain't going to bring a new earth. He's going to use this earth he's got, and he's going to transfigure it is through peace. He's going to come in peacefully. They're going to build him a temple, and he's going to be a carnal god for the carnal mind. And so this division factor of 11 to 11, we're here at this point where we're almost ready to be revealed in its last day. Satan is going to be revealed. And that means his planet. He's going to appear. And just so happens that 20 and 12 is a good time. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But it's a good time astrologically for it to be either a forerunner or the time period marked, because at 11:11 GMT time, Greenwich Mean Time, it's going to be on December the 21st, we're going to have what is called the appearing of the great God of this earth. Or we're going to have the appearing of his planet. And then man is going to begin to communicate with the gods in the heavens. These are the fallen gods now. There's two factions. They've used so much deception. We're getting messages from the heavens right now. I've got to close. My heavens, my time is preached out of here. I've got to get off of here. And I hope and trust that you can join me tomorrow night. That's Wednesday night at 10 o'clock around the world, WWRB 3.185. I'm sponsored, really, tonight by Brother Mark and the Sister Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. And we hope and trust that Yahweh will bless you and that you will have a message of revelation here tonight with the third part of our lunar facts that we are dwelling on tonight. May Yahweh bless you. Call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. Or you can write me, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll see you tomorrow night live around the world on the transmitting Journal of the South, WWRB 3.185, Clear Channel. May Yahweh bless you. And I love you.